ందేహం శ్రీగరు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగరూన్ వైష్ణవాం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాద సహగణలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖా నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సారస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారే విశేషా శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశదా నమో మహాబలంజాయ కృష్ణప్రేమప్రదాయ కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యనామనే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతి గోపేశ గోపికాకాంతరాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ శ్రీరాధే బృందవనేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే మచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యరేవ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద సద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర్భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. ఐ విల్ కంటిన్యూ ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ ఐ లెఫ్ట్ యెస్టర్డే. ఐ వాస్ టెల్లింగ్ అబౌట్ అ పర్సన్ who was recollecting his Krishna conscious days, isn't it? The 3 days in association of Radha Gopinath Prabhu, was remembering them to be golden days. Now he was settled in life, settled in business, but he had forgotten Krishna consciousness, he had forgotten chanting, and in Bhagavatam language, it's called as abhinivesha. Abhinivesha means completely absorbed in material life. The purpose of me quoting that example yesterday was, such a kind of talk comes in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, you will find Parikshit Maharaj going to the banks of the Ganges, of banks of the river of Ganges, and meeting Shukadeva Goswami and asking this famous question. Ata prachami samsiddhim yoginam paramam gurum purushasya ihayat karyam mriyamanasya sarvatha. He is asking, Adha prachami samsiddhim, I am asking you, O great guru of all the saints and sages, Shukadeva Goswami, I am asking the way of perfection. How can one perfect one's life? So two questions he is asking here. Purushasya iha yat karyam. What is the duty of the people in general in this world? And he is also asking Brihamanasya sarvata. Mriyamanasya means one who is about to die. What is his duty? There, Prabhupada writes a very interesting thing in the purport. He says, unless one perfectly inquires about the way of perfection of his life, there is no necessity for one to approach a spiritual master. And then Prabhupada says, a spiritual master is not a kind of decoration for a householder. Prabhupada says that, if you read the purport. So one should not, and then he says, one should not become a fashionable disciple who flatters the so-called spiritual master, who speaks whatever will give pleasure to the senses of the disciple. So he's condemning both. He's condemning a flattering disciple and is condemning a bogus spiritual master, so-called guru, who simply flatters the senses of the disciple by telling them nice things to keep them happy in their material life. Condemning both. So he says, the guru is not a kind of a decoration for the householder, he says. Now, outside the purview of ISKCON, we can speak so much condemnation of so-called gurus and all that. We can speak, there is so much we know. But even after coming to our ISKCON society, it is more relevant for us to talk about those who are within the circle of ISKCON. So I was giving you that example yesterday, especially because of this, because there is a kind of great enthusiasm and eagerness in the hearts of people when they begin Krishna consciousness in their college days. And then people pick up 16 rounds and it keeps building up over a period of time. Lot of enthusiasm. But then as one proceeds further, a stage comes when one gets initiated. When one is initiated, then one cools down completely. That vigor, that enthusiasm, many times it doesn't remain as it was in the early days, the freshness. So one tends to become dull. And when one, as I was telling you about yesterday's example, when one is away from association, it's not a question of whether one is a brahmachari or a grihastha. If one is not properly associating, then one can cool down in spiritual life. And one becomes weak. In fact, after these two questions were asked by Parikshit, the answer Shukadeva Goswami gives is a very heavy answer in reply. Of course, first he said, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavani Shuro Hari Shrotavya Kirtavyasya Smartavyasya Chitabhayam. He said, immediate quick solution to fear. You are going to die, you are fearful, take the solution immediately. He said, one should chant, one should hear about, and one should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by that one can become free from all fear. Immediate solution he gave him. If you are feeling fear of death, immediately you do this. Somebody should chant Krishna's pastimes, and you should hear those pastimes with great attention, and you should also remember them in your heart. Then you will be transported to a spiritual realm where you will not feel the pinch or fear of death. You will not feel. But after giving the solution, he gave several heavy statements. This is coming in the very first cant of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami, what he says. So there he says, you all can repeat these verses, two verses we'll recite.
Shrotavyadini Rajendra Drinam Santi Sahasrashah Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam.
And then he says in the next verse, Nidraya Kriyate Naktam
Vyabhayena Chabhavayah Divacharte Hayarajan Kutumba Bharanena Va Deha Patyakalatradishu Atma Sanyeshvasatsvapi Tesham Pramatto Nidanam Pashyanapi na Pashyati.
He is saying in the beginning, the very first verse, he says, people in this world have a tendency for hearing so many news about cinema actors and actresses because they want to talk about romance. People have a great eagerness to talk about the fights or politics that goes on between the people in the world. People like quarrels, people like fight. You have seen in the road, as soon as there is a quarrel, immediately everyone surrounds that area. Because everyone goes, hey, what is that? What's happening? What's happening there? So people have that type of eagerness. And people also want to talk about sports, isn't it? But why are they having this tendency? Because it is not something extraneous to the soul. Mayavadis may say, we have to get rid of these tendencies. But Vaishnavas don't say that. Vaishnavas say, yes, you should continue doing this. But the center should be Krishna. Like you want to hear about romance. Yes, hear about romance of Radha and Krishna. Continue to hear romance, no problem. Only the subject matter romance should be changed. Some cinema actors going to marry some cinema actress, hell with that. Both are fallible souls, useless. They may become pig or dog in the next life, who knows. So don't talk about them, talk about the eternal divine couple. Similarly, if you want to talk about sports, talk about how Krishna is doing sports with his friends in Vrindavan, playing in the forest of Vrindavan, Ramanareti. How he is doing sports. You want to talk about stunt, talk about stunt of Hiranyakashipu with Lord Narsingadev, or Lord Vishnu with, Lord Varahadev with Hiranyaksha. That sports we should hear, not sports star, sports supreme star. You should hear that. So, this is the right subject matter for hearing. He says, otherwise the materialistic people uselessly waste their time hearing useless things from the mundane world. So he's condemning that first. So, like you want to hear politics, read Mahabharata. That is first class politics in Mahabharata. Because as soon as you say, a woman was brought in the middle of the assembly and disrobed, whole earth will come, all the people in the globe will come there. Tell us what happened after then. Did they successfully do it? Because people want to hear such news, especially about women. If you say, like newspaper, right, woman was raped or something, immediately everyone wants to read, what is it? So, that is there in Mahabharata. That is a central subject matter. You find that. Similarly, you find, you say, there were five brothers, and there were 100 cousin brothers. Unfortunately, in that family, there was a politics and there was fight. Everyone wants to know. Really? Family fight? Come, tell us which family, what fight? Kaun mar gaya? Ye mar gaya, wo mar gaya? You want to know. Who died? See, there is enough politics in Mahabharata. But the beauty of the politics in Mahabharata is the central theme is Krishna. You see, Vyasadev, while writing Mahabharata, he writes all the pastimes, everything, and he brings it to a pinnacle where, now you tell the pastime of Mahabharata people, now the brothers are about to fight, the 500, they are going to have a fight. That is going to be war. Now everyone is curious. How the war is going to take place, who is going to win? In that place there is Bhagavad Gita. Come, we will tell you who won after you complete hearing Bhagavad Gita. So, we can see what is the right subject matter for hearing. That's why he says that. And then subsequently he says, in the next verse he says, so I am not able to see many faces with this. Is there no chair here? Many devotees are trying to peep. Like that, I am also too short, I can sit here. Apashyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedhinam. But Shukadev Goswami is saying the grihamedhis are those who have all this subject matter of politics and economics and sociology and sports. And romance of dirty activities of the dirty people of the material world. They completely absorb in these things. But he says, transcendentalist or a spiritualist should not absorb in these things. One should not become a grihamedhi, he says. And then he is defining what is a grihamedhi. He says subsequently, a grihamedhi is one, he says, nidriya grihate naktam, he says, a grihamedhi is a person who makes the home the center and he works very hard during the day for earning a lot of money. And in the night, daytime he has two activities, he says. He works very hard and earns a lot of money. And kutumbabharan means maintenance of the family. And the night he spends in sex and sleep. And in this way, his entire life goes uselessly without any valuable spiritual progress. It goes on like this. Now, this is not spoken of a devotee at all. This is purely speaking about a materialist. Now, that is why I made a statement some time ago. Let us talk about within the circle of ISKCON. So, how can you say within a circle of ISKCON, there are non-devotees? So, the problem is, we are not non-devotees, we are not pure devotees, we are semi-devotees. That's the problem. So, somebody who is not a proper devotee can get into this zone of what he is speaking here for a period of time. Even after becoming brahmacharya or grihastha within ISKCON, many people have become very weak over the years. And eventually it will come to the holy name now, we will come. But even before talking about the holy name, we have to know that the kind of fire that you have in your heart for Krishna consciousness, for remembering Krishna and for actively hearing, chanting, practicing, preaching, living a pure Krishna conscious life, that fire one may not keep over the years. As he is saying, Kutumba Bharan, sometimes a devotee becomes very busy in setting up his family life, in setting up his career, in setting up his economic situation or financial situation or fulfilling the duties to parents and wife and children. And like I was telling you about this gentleman yesterday night. So one may get carried away by the waves of the material world. And one may not be able to connect oneself to devotees and keep oneself hooked in the association. Hooked in the association, what I mean, if you put a hook in the association, you're constantly getting the electricity supply. Isn't it? That's what I mean. That's what we're going to talk in the afternoon. Stay connected under safe shelter, isn't it? We have the topic. So we have to always hook ourselves to association. You experience it yourself. When you're not in touch with devotees, how you feel? You can see that. So he says, Kutumba Bharaninava, and also he says in this way, one may gradually get the Gramya Buddhi. This is a technical word given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Gramya Buddhi means materialistic consciousness. This word is used in Bhagavatam. So one is wearing tilak, one is wearing kantimala, one is a devotee, one also sometimes, tries to do the spiritual life nicely. But gradually he gets into the zone of Gramya Buddhi, materialistic consciousness. See, this has nothing to do with distance. Somebody may be living, for example, say Krishna Smaran Prabhu is living at Delhi and his guru Rompa Swami is living far away abroad. So the distance doesn't matter if one is sincerely practicing. Murugari was living in the center of the forest with his wife and Ardhamani occasionally came to visit that place. But you can see how faithfully he executed his duties, how Murugari was doing his perfectly spiritual duties. So one shouldn't think Radhishyam is stressing on this because he wants to keep everyone in Pune only. Sometimes people think like that. I am telling you, even if one is in the ashram as a brahmachari, one can get Gramya Buddhi. Not that there is assurance given in Shastras that if you are a brahmachari, then you will be a pure devotee. No, there is no assurance. There are brahmacharis even in our ashram who have independent mentality, who simply don't gel with the spiritual association available. And it's only a matter of time they will be knocked off over a period of time. They will not survive for a period of time. So, here he says that the materialistic life assumes the front seat, the spiritual life assumes the back seat for such a person. Gramya Buddhi, he is talking about. And then he is saying, after this verse, Deha apatya kalatradishu atmasinesha satsvapi tesham pramatto nidanam matta pramatta unmatta. This is the degree. Matta means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. One becomes sufficiently mad to think that my bank balance will protect me, doctors will protect me, police force will protect me, military will protect me, and my relatives and friends are my real well-wishers who love me. So one starts thinking like this, and living in the cozy, comfortable home of material consciousness, surrounded by relatives and friends, aristocratic relatives and friends, one is in a sort of cozy, complacent state, coasting along in Krishna consciousness. So the word coasting along is a technical word again used in ISKCON. For what? Coasting along means You are also flowing with, you know, everyone, but you are not very Krishna conscious. Somehow, chal raha, you ask him, how is your Krishna consciousness? Chal raha, going on. Sometimes I also come to devotee association. Sometimes some festivals I come, sometimes I meet devotees. Okay. Whenever devotees call, I come. One may be coming. Or one may be flowing with the devotees, but not very Krishna conscious. One is not vibrant in his Krishna consciousness. One is just dull. Somehow it's going on. Or dragging along, we can say. Others are dragging, and some of these fellows are going with them, like that. So he's saying like that. Deha apatya kalatradishu. And his material attachments are increasing in life. And the seeds of material desires are getting stronger, hold, by germinating and expanding the roots. In this way, material life becomes stronger, spiritual life becomes weaker. And he is leading himself to an inevitable fall down in the time to come. So these are the things that Shukadeva Goswami speaks in the beginning, in his answers. And then he is giving another two, three verses directly on the holy name. Immediately the holy name comes after that. You all can repeat these verses. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Bhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janmalabha Parapumsa Ante Narayana Smriti Etan Nirvidyamanana Ichchatamakuto Bhayam Yoginam Nripanirnitam Hare Namanukirtanam Kim Pramattasya Bahubir Parokshairhayanairiha Varam Muhurtam Viditam Gatate Shreyase Yataha. He's saying, first he's saying that whatever you do in life, at last you have to come to the lotus feet of Krishna only. You have to chant the holy names of the Lord at the time of death. That is considered the highest perfection. He says, Yetavan Sang, he's talking about spiritualists first. He's talking about spiritualists. Like, you know, if somebody says Sankhya, means analyst. One analyzes matter and spirit and understands by immersion what is matter, what is spirit, what is Aham Brahmasmi, and what are materialistic things. One who distinguishes all these things is a Sankhya, analyzes by the analysis of the 24 elements. And then he's talking about the yogis. Sankhya Yoga, and also he's talking about Swadharma Nishtha, one who is performing his prescribed duties of Varnashrama Dharma very perfectly, as a Brahman, Chitra, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grasvana, Prasanyas, Swadharma Parinishtaya. And then he's saying, Janma Labha Parapumsa. The only profit in his life, you may say that he has been a perfect duty-bound brahmachari or a householder, or you may say he was a perfect yogi who has become free from all desires, or you may say he has been a perfect jnani. He says that, okay, whatever you want to say, you say. Was he able to remember the Lord at the time of death? Ante Narayana Smriti. That is the acid test. If one has remembered the Lord at the time of death, his life is successful. Otherwise not. Very clear-cut definition. No use of one performing gymnastics through yoga or mental gymnastics through jnana or, you know, performance of ostentatious demonstration of yajna, dana, tapa by karmanishta, being a karmanishta. All these things are useless. Unless one is able to remember the Lord, personality of God at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smriti. And then he says, there are three kinds of people. One category of people, they are full of desires. Etan nirvidyamananam icchatamakutubayam. There are people who are full of materialistic desires in their heart, lurking one after another, they are trying to fulfill. And there is another category, which is a self-satisfied person, like a yogi, you know, who has come to a stage, he understands that all material desires of this world will lead me to the illusion of this world and subsequent concomitant sufferings in this world. So I just don't want to give and take with any material desire of this world. I am completely self-satisfied. That is second category. And third category is devotees who are free from material desires. Because for Krishna's sake, if Guru orders, they may live in a palatial bungalow. And for Krishna's sake, if Guru orders, they will live under a tree. They are practically desireless devotees. He says, all these three people, he says, etana vidyamananam, ichatama kutovayam, yoginam, dapaninitam, harinamanu kirtanam. All these three categories of people should always do Harinama Kirtan. It's very important for them. Whether you are desireless, whether you are full of desires, whether you are Atmaram, in any case, you have to constantly chant the holy name. Why? That only will lead you to Ante Narayana Smriti. What happens by the Harinama Kirtan? By hearing about and glorifying and by remembering the past sins of the Personality of Godhead, and also by chanting his holy names, one's heart is purified. Because chanting is what cleanses the heart of the Gramya Buddhi that I was talking about. The materialistic consciousness will be cleansed only by repeated hearing of the holy name. When the holy name goes inside, it does the cleansing, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And it also causes awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness. Like in Garuda Puran, the example is given of a man who is bitten by a snake, lying down. By some mantra, he is woken up. Similarly, your sleeping soul is woken up in his dormant Krishna consciousness by the chanting of the holy name. That is why the Hare Namana Kirtanam should be done continuously. I have seen witnessed with my own eyes, Brahmacharis or Grihasthas, over the years, wherever they lived, whatever they did, those who kept the morning program very strict, rising early in the morning. This is Prabhupada's instruction. Some people consider, you know, that in Pune we are fanatical about morning program punctuality and all that. Despite the fact that I would be misunderstood by many people for being so fanatical about morning program, I still anyway administered it in Pune. Because let them keep cursing me and then let them go back to Godhead. Afterwards they will realize. Even if you are going to be, even if people are going to curse behind the screen, when they become purified, that time they will appreciate. They will appreciate, it was really this kind of strictness in the morning program that has led me to this point now. Now there are many boys who come and tell me, Prabhuji, we wish we want to be again back in boys, you know, living with all boys. They are wishing that. Because once you get married, once you are settled in life, then afterwards, you ask Krishna Kishore Prabhu, he can tell you, it requires tremendous willpower on your part in order to, you know, sleep early and rise early in the morning and keep wife and children Krishna conscious besides remaining yourself Krishna conscious and doing the morning program. Without my persuasion, Krishna Kishore Prabhu himself started a morning program. I never told him ever. He said, the kind of life you have in voice is such a great good fortune. He said, we want to do the same for Grihasthas. Tulasi Prabhu returned to India from abroad. As soon as he came, he never even asked me. He started a morning program, thrice a week or something, twice or thrice a week. And then he came and told me, Prabhuji, is it all right if we do this? I said, why all right? It's wonderful. You can do all 7 days if you can. You know? So they all told me the same realization. They said, Prabhuji, if you are at Grihasthas alone at home, it's very dangerous. That is only Maya. Husband and wife are simply looking at each other's face. Either you become too attached or you are, you know, barking like dogs at each other. Either of the two you will be doing. But you come together, assemble all the grihasthas in the neighborhood, everyone comes together, and then sit together, as he said, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishuro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtavishta Smartavyascha Chidabhayam. If one does that, then one will completely become pacified and materialistic consciousness and one's spiritual consciousness will get awakened. And especially the chanting of the holy name. Of course, one can hear Krishna Katha, but the result of Krishna Katha is that one becomes inspired to chant the holy name. One should call out the holy name fervently. And then by that one gets awakened in the Dharma and Krishna consciousness. Like that. That's why he is saying, Hare Nama Kirtanam. And when one is awakened like that, then one will undoubtedly be very serious in Krishna consciousness. Like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was telling Raskananda when he went to KGP, that he should preach always if you really want to be alive in Krishna consciousness. We always in Pune emphasize on preaching very much. One of the reasons is when you preach, you will be forced to follow. And then by following, you will remain Krishna conscious. When you don't preach, when you try to avoid preaching and continue remaining a devotee, you will see that you gradually become a cheater. You cannot remain a proper devotee. Of course, preaching doesn't mean sitting on an elevated asana and speaking necessarily. One can assist in preaching also. Every one of you here is assisting preaching in some way. Either somebody is. Basically, one should be in devotee association, rendering services, and chanting the holy name, and every day making an endeavor to improve the quality of our hearing of chanting, hearing the sound vibration. It should be an everyday attempt to improve the quality of our hearing, understanding the glories of the holy name, and to hear the sound vibration of the holy name as attentively as possible, to the best of our ability. One should do that. And by doing that, you will see our fondness for the philosophy and for the service and for Krishna will eventually increase by that. And then one is very safe and secure. Then Ante Narayana Smriti will automatically take place. So, devotees are never called as Griha Medhis. Devotees are only called as Grihastha. But if they are not attentive about what I am speaking today, they will see that inevitably from Grihastha platform, they will tend towards Griha Medhi platform. Even though they may not become a total Griha Medhi, they will tend towards that, in that direction. When the Gramya Buddhi increases in the mind, in the heart, then they will see that the material desires are taking hold stronger and stronger, and the spiritual taste will fade away, and the material pleasures will become dominant. They will shake their heart, and it will become difficult for them. Same is true for brahmacharis also, those who join the ashram. If they are just living in the ashram, thinking that roti, kapda, makan is provided for me, now I am getting nice food, nice accommodation, and I don't have to work hard in the outside world, I'm living in the ashram. And if they are like, all those brahmacharis who used to stand up in chanting, go to the back side of the temple, one fellow was sleeping in the Sharanagati, now he is out of the temple, he is not here. Morning chanting time, he would go to the Sharanagati and in the name of chanting alone, he would be dozing there, sleeping there. And there are brahmacharis who say that there is too much of noise in the temple. So they go to the back side and without any noise, they are peacefully sleeping in the stage there. Or they are sleeping under the tree. In those days, there was a stage under a tree. They are sleeping there. So, we have to be in association of devotees when we are chanting the holy name. And we cannot, Nirjan Bhajan is never appreciated. Chanting alone is never appreciated. We should chant with devotees. And also, many times I find devotees fear to wake up the other devotees. They feel it may be offensive. Waking up a sleeping devotee is never offensive. I would say even a senior. I have told even my neighbors, everyone has a right to wake up the other person. As politely as possible, you can do that. So, Radhanath Swami made 3 rules in Bombay for the brahmacharis in the ashram. He had said, first he said, don't let the devotees go out of the temple hall. That was one rule he said. Second rule he said, don't let them sleep while they are in the temple hall chanting. And thirdly he said, make them sit in circles and look at each other time to time, keep watching and helping whether they are properly chanting. And inspire the devotees to talk to each other about the quality of chanting and how to improve the chanting and help each other in chanting. So he made these three powerful policies in Bombay temple. In those days, early days when I was there, some devotees would, stand up during chanting and walk out. And then they will come after 20 minutes. Why? They went to drink water. Then the report went to Maharaj. Maharaj said, keep one big jar of water in the near the temple hall only. If they want water, they can stand inside the temple hall only and you can take. You will not go out. I don't know how much you all know about the seriousness with which Maharaj has made these policies. He wants to see that what happens is when you put yourself in the intense fire of Sankirtan, chanting of the whole name with devotees, what happens is, the mind starts screaming, what is this? Because of the fire of Sankirtan. And mind immediately tells you, go out, go here, go there. even in Bhagavatam class, you will find some people have one leg outside and one leg inside the temple hall, sitting. Whenever I would see in the morning, I would tell them, lock the door, Put everyone inside and you close the door and give intense Krishna Katha. That treatment is needed, very much. Because, if you are keeping one leg outside, one leg inside, you are half spaced out and half inside, How many of you have experienced in Bhagavatam class, you sit outside, you feel some kind of spacing out? How many of you feel? Isn't it? See? You have to be inside with all devotees. So in chanting also, we follow these rules in order to improve the quality of chanting. And it will happen surely. So, some of you will be brahmachari, some of you will be grihasthas. But keep these principles in mind. Unless we give the top priority to the chanting of the holy name on an everyday basis and having great eagerness to improve the quality of chanting. Every day we should be in a sportive spirit, in a fighting spirit. Okay, today. You may say, today I am not going to sleep, and then you may sleep. No problem. At least you had that spirit. You are not the loser. Krishna appreciates the struggle. You may think, today I am going to chant every word with full absorption and attentiveness. And then your mind is wandering. No problem. At least you had that aspiration. But we should have it. And we should be improving our chanting of the holy name, and that will really help us in keeping that fire of Krishna consciousness in the heart. Because, even if you are not successful in becoming pure devotees in this life, we have done an attempt. We have made a struggle, we have done the attempt, and Krishna will be surely pleased with that. And He will put us in a situation where we can continue devotion service peacefully life after life. Even if it would take us a million lives. But if you don't, that is why he says, Kim Pramattasya Bahubir, Parakshair Hayanairiha, Varam Muhurtam Viditam Katate Shayas. He says, he is telling Parikshit, my dear Parikshit, you are going to die in 1 week and I am telling you it's very good. He is saying, very good? If somebody tells you you are going to die in 1 week, it's good. So he says, yes, it is good, I'll tell you why. He says, one moment of transcendental thought is by far superior to a very long life of un-Krishna consciousness. He's saying, it's better that you live a short life and live a very Krishna conscious life. That's far superior than to live a very long un-Krishna conscious life with Gramya Buddhi. It's useless. And then he's saying, Tavapyetarhit Kauravya, Saptaham Jivita Avadahi. You got 7 days, Saptaham. That's how the word Saptah came, from that verse only. Bhagavat? Saptah. From there only this comes. Tavapyetarhit Kauravya, Saptaham Jivita Avadahi. He says, you have Avadhi of 7 days, you have. He says, you are more fortunate. You know why? In the next verse he says, Katvango nama raja rishi nyatve yuktam vihayushaha muhurtat sarvamusrujya katavana bayam harim. He says, there was a king, Katvanga, who did so much service to the demigods, helped them, and they asked him, we will fulfill all your material desires. What do you want? You want Ramba, Urvashi, Menaka? Whom do you want? He said, hell with all that material enjoyment. He was a devotee. He said, I don't want to experience any material enjoyment. I only want to know how much more of my life is left, tell me. So if I know that, accordingly I can prepare myself to go back to Godhead. So they looked at the Panchanga and his nakshatra, everything. They said, oh, you got only one moment left. And you are going to die. Sorry to say this, dear king. You are going to leave your body in any time. What did the Katvanga do? Immediately he said, Muhurta Sarvamutsrajya. He immediately renounced the world. He renounced the post of the king and the elephants and the horses and the queens and What is that? Dara, Sutha, all those things he says. Pashu, Dravana, Bandushu. He renounced everything, just like Parikshit renounced all that. I renounced in one moment what he did. Murtat Sarvam Utsrijya. Gataman Abhayam Harim. He went back home, back to Godhead in one moment. And then Shudha Goswami is saying, just see this example. If that king could renounce everything in one moment and remember Lord Hari and perfect his life, you don't have to worry, you have a very long time. You have 7 full days and 7 full nights. So you have sufficient time to prepare yourself. So I will speak the pastimes of Krishna, and you hear them with attention and develop your loving attraction for Krishna. And then at that moment of your death, remembering the Lord, you can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Like that, Shukadeva Goswami encouraged him. So I like that verse very much, because one moment of transcendental thought is by far superior to a long life of un-Krishna consciousness. There are trees which are 5,000 years old, 8,000 years old, 10,000 years old, but they are un-Krishna conscious. On the other hand, you see Shankaracharya or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived how many years in this world? He performed his pastimes. 48 years. Shankara lived only 32 years. But their names will be ever remembered and printed in golden letters in the history for their highly elevated Krishna conscious lifestyle. So, if we want to perfect our life, make our life very Krishna conscious, then the chanting of the Holy Name is very vital. In fact, the chanting of the Holy Name is the Prabhupada said 90% of our advancement comes from chanting of the Holy Name. So even if you are not a first-class chanter, at least you are a struggler in chanting the Holy Name. Surely your heart will improve. There is absolutely no doubt about that. Harinam Prabhu ki. Let's offer our